Y'all know what time it is. Y'all don't know, y'all better ask somebody.
Hat on, hat on, suit on, suit on, looking like a dapper don, giving a microphone, dress like a million bucks, bucks, diamond things in its cuffs. Mm-hmm. Y'all tell me, who could it be but Steve Harvey? Oh, yeah. Listening to me. Put your hands together for Steve Harvey.
Put your hands together.
Everybody, you are listening to The Voice. Come on now, dig me, one and only Steve Harvey. Got a radio show. Thank God for it all the time, too. Well, here we go. Today, since it's this time of the year, I want to share something with you that'll help you, because it's helped me. You know, I was telling a story once that in this magazine called Rob Report, that there was a statue I used to see for years. I started buying Rob Report magazines years ago. So I just wanted to see what affluent people did, you know, just wanted to see what people with means did, what type of investments they did, what they bought, you know, where they traveled to. The Rob Report is just like a big boy toy magazine. You can see what cars is out. You know, I didn't have money for none of it, just I was dreaming, though. You know, I just wanted to see. And there was a statue inside this magazine of this man who was coming out of this bronze rock, and he was completely bronze, and he was muscular. And, you know, he didn't look nothing like me, but he was a man coming up out of a rock, and he had a huge hammer and a chisel in his hand. And as his body from the waist up was coming out of this huge piece of stone, you could see where it was him who had been chiseling and forming himself. So the name of the statue was Self-Made Man. And for years, man, I said, man, I'm gonna get a big house one day and I'm gonna put that statue in the backyard in the corner. That's gonna be my little spot where I go chill, because I'm a self-made man. Well, after years of working at becoming somebody and having reached a degree of success, I would have nothing to do with that statue. There's nothing about that statue that appeals to me anymore, because on my journey and in my quest to become what I thought would be this self-made man, where I could put this statue and had this statue in the corner be kind of cold, symbolizing it, I had made it. I realized on my journey, there's no such thing as a self-made man, that we all need help, and that God places people in our paths along the way that benefit us oftentimes. And it's the most unlikely person oftentimes. And it's the most unlikely way that he presents these people in front of you. It's crazy how he does it, man. And so this is a statue now that I look at and I go, I see what the creator was saying, and that's cool, but not for me. because I needed help. And I've learned a lot of things like this along the way. And at this part of the year, the part I wanted to share with you all about this is you've got to develop. You've got to develop a sense of purpose. Now, notice what I said. I said you have to develop a sense of purpose. I didn't say you had to go out and figure out a purpose. You have to develop a sense of purpose. That's different. See, your purpose is created for you by God, because when he created you as an individual from whatever two parents you may have, that's not important here. When he created you, he had something in mind for you. Mm-hmm. You follow me now? When he created you, he had something in mind for you. And it was a purpose. God has not created a single soul to become a criminal. God has never created a single soul to be a drug dealer, to become an addict, to become an alcoholic, to become an abuser, a molester, a cheater. He didn't create none of this. This came about through some decisions we made as sinners, and we stayed in that place. But see, when he created us, he has a wonderful idea for us. But God gives us human beings this thing called choice, and we have the power to decide. So you can decide if you're going to adhere to the purpose that God created you and made you for, or you can go ahead and make some choices on your own. So, like, if God wanted to give you a life and give it come to you and give you life more abundantly, and that's his promise, if you come to him, if you choose him, then cool. But if you say, well, this ain't moving along fast enough, I'm going to get my own life of abundance, I'm going to start slanging, well, guess what now? Ta-da, you've made a decision. And see, God's decisions and choices, the one thing I learned about them from Bishop Kenneth Olmer, God's decisions, choices, his voice, it has no sin in it. Ain't it amazing how many people that came up to you and said, the Lord wanted me to do this to you, and I'm doing it, and God is punishing you, and I'm doing this to you because God gonna see that you get your day. Who is this person? Who is this person that God all of a sudden gave this authority and power to? God didn't give that to nobody, man. Nobody. This person don't have the right to hold you to your past, the right to make you pay. So who makes them pay when they make mistakes? Because they all make them. So when I say you have to have a sense of, you have to develop a strong sense of purpose, that means you have to strongly get in touch with your creator to find out what the purpose you were created for. See, it's two things that I had to learn along the way. My career was what I was paid for. My calling is what I was made for. See, it's two different things, folks. It took me a long time to learn it. And some people think that they calling is to be a performer. Well, that's what you paid for. And a big part of your life is your performance that's tied directly to your gift. But what you made for, though, what you made for is to bring about some significant change in another human being's lives, because we are all linked together in this chain. That's what you are here for. Everybody has a purpose to do something wonderful, meaningful, or impactful for another person. Show me the person that's not made for that. I just want to know. Who isn't made to do that? Who isn't made to do something that will affect the life for the betterment and improvement of another person or people? You think the guy that invented the airplane was merely inventing the airplane so he could fly? No, his purpose was to become an inventor, to come up with this invention so he could fly, and we all fly. See, sometimes God will make you successful so you can become successful, so you can turn around and teach other people how to become successful. God saved people so you can turn around and tell other people how wonderful it is to be saved. You see how this thing works? That's what we have to do as people. And it's nothing that we have to go and discover. We have to go and develop it. But if you haven't discovered your purpose, it's simply because Here's it. If you haven't discovered your purpose, it's simply because you have not contacted the creator and maker of your soul to ask and find out why you were created. It's as simple as that. If you buy a Toyota, there's an owner's manual on the inside that will tell you everything you know, how to best operate your Toyota, how to make it work, how what to do. They got a troubleshooting section. Your faith is the same thing as an owner's manual in your car. Open up that book, man. Find out how to jumpstart your life, how to troubleshoot it, and get on with your life, and find out your purpose and develop a strong sense of purpose this year. All right? Okay, cool.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, everybody around the world, monkeys, tree climbers, butchers, tree trimmers, landscape crews,
barbers,
beauticians, nail techs, people that just have foot fetishes.
Sheep rod hangers.
People that shear sheep.
Sewers.
Clothesline workers.
Yeah.
Trapeze artists.
Yeah.
People that feed the gorillas down at the zoo.
They out of the circus.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Steve Harvey Morning Show. And to anybody out there that still got a typewriter.
They ain't got a shout out in so long.
Why though?
Yeah.
No, ain't nobody said nothing to y'all.
Yeah. They just stopped typing when you said that.
And hello to all the millennials that don't know how to cursive print.
Oh, yeah. So many.
Man, my little girl wrote me a letter in cursive print. Mm-hmm. I thought it came from a fan that was five.
They don't teach cursive print.
They don't have that. I didn't realize, but she's been, you know, on a computer her entire life. All their papers are on the computer.
How do they sign their signature, though?
They ain't got no signature. It's just a mark.
Oh.
It'll be amazing.
Well, you know, you can type that,
too.
You can.
On green mind.
You can.
Yeah.
What? That's my mark.
All right. Well, good morning, Steve.
Good morning.
Oh,
everybody.
I'm sorry.
Yes.
He's just waiting on you.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm sitting here going, why ain't nobody talking? Usually when it get quiet like that dead space, that's usually me.
Yeah, you black out.
Good morning, Shirley.
Good morning, darling. How are you?
Carla Farrell.
Good morning, crew. What's up?
HPJ. High Pitch Junior.
Morning, up. Yeah.
Jay Anthony.
Watch out there now, Steve Harvey. What's up?
What's up, fool?
Auguste. Good morning.
So the pauses this morning.
Hey, it's pause, too.
It was a continuation.
No, it's not. Not ever on the radio, ever. You know that.
Well, how's everybody doing?
Everybody doing good.
Yeah.
Everybody saw the interview last night?
No, not
Sunday night.
Sunday night.
Sunday night.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're still reeling
folks
from
still
it. We're
still
reeling. Yeah.
Yeah.
Highest rated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was the highest rating?
Well, since the Obamas.
Wow.
Yeah. Post-election.
Yeah. He like it rough.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, man, that's...
Damn, Jay.
Man, you talk about taking chance.
That's what he like.
Yeah,
what
he do? Star.
Come on. I took control of the president.
Well, you know, I thought she was very believable.
I was with the magazine.
You were what?
First
time I was on Jet, if somebody had saw me on Jet, on me and the boys, I said, oh, this about you? Turn around, drop my show. What a
but
that down and got spanked with that damn Jet.
But that was
because it had never happened before. Yeah. So you doggone right. And matter of fact, I've never been spanked with a magazine and thinking about it.
You know that.
As a matter of fact, soon as I get on Fortune 500, Marjorie.
All right, listen.
Roll it up. Let's get started.
We'll come back with more of this crazy conversation at 32 after the hour.
Yeah. You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, it's time for something funny, Steve. And, you know, we were talking about it earlier, the Stormy Daniels interview on 60 Minutes with Anderson Cooper, who I thought did a great job.
Yes, he did.
Yeah,
He's Storm- one of the best interviewers.
Oh, yes, he is. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Mm-hmm. Yes, he is. Stormy Daniels finally spoke out, told Anderson Cooper that she basically wanted to clear her name, and she felt pressured into signing the nondisclosure agreement. Stormy revealed a lot, just in case you missed. Take a listen as she talked about spanking the president, Steve, on his behind.
And I said, you know, give me that. And I turned around going, you wouldn't. Hand it over. And so he did. And I was like, turn around, drop him.
You told Donald Trump to turn around and take off his pants?
Yes.
And did he?
Yes. So he turned around and pulled his pants down a little. You know, he had underwear on and stuff. And I just gave him a couple swats.
See, now, when she said Donald Trump, now, you can't see your name in there.
Getting spanked with a magazine. If you're on the
cover. You're talking to the guys.
J. Anthony Brown.
Hell yeah.
You know it.
Junior.
Yeah. Tommy. I see me. Yeah, my face.
Have my ass.
Now, not with her, though.
No.
Not with her.
Anybody, Steve.
No, women, no, I'm not going to be in there with the porn.
Anybody, Steve.
No, that's one thing about me, dog. I ain't never cared for that type of, you just a little bit too frequent for me.
Porn stars need love, too.
No. Well, they need it from other porn stars. Because I ain't got nothing for you.
Yeah.
No, that's what you need. If you need
more
love.
That's where you draw the line.
Yeah. No, I don't right, do porn girl. Star. No. If you got a high rate of activity, I don't want it. Thank you. And I don't care how good you look.
Yeah. I don't like nobody lying to me.
Yeah. I don't mind lying to you.
No.
I love you. I love you, too.
That's what porn stars do.
I can't. I need somebody.
You're not paying somebody to tell you the truth about yourself. You pay them to lie. You look good. Oh, that's the best. Damn.
Come on, Jay.
I ain't never seen it like that before. That's what I paid for.
You've heard it all, Jay.
Heard it all. Paid for it all.
Very satisfied, huh, Jay?
Very satisfied. I don't want to leave there feeling small about myself. Are you kidding me? That's what I paid for.
And Junior,
paying for that. I'm paying for you to make me feel good. Lie to me.
But Junior, on the other hand, doesn't want him to lie to him.
No, I don't want.
You want the truth, Junior?
No. I don't want nobody to just lie because it's over. They overdo it.
No, I don't mind lying.
Yeah.
You don't mind lying, Steve? No,
I love you. Oh, I love you too.
Lie right with.
Oh, that's what we're doing. I love you too.
Oh, yeah.
We love it up in here?
Yeah. Oh, we love each other? Okay.
You good, man?
I don't know. It's only the fourth one. But
my God, you wore me out.
What?
Yeah.
Knowing that's a lie, Jay.
I don't care.
I can't see.
And y'all good with the paper cuts on your butt? You good with that?
From the magazine, spanking.
From the magazine. You cool with that?
I like the line part.
Well, for his part, Mr. Trump has denied having an affair, though he has admitted there is no NDA. And his lawyers are now threatening Stormy Daniels with financial ruin if she keeps talking. The alleged affair apparently happened about 10 years ago. Huh?
But now here's a problem. You can't say nothing ever happened if you're trying to make her whole to the NDA.
Right.
You can't say nothing happened and pay her, right? No, you pay the woman.
To stay hush. Mm-hmm. But now you're going to charge her $1 million every time she talks.
Yeah.
Now, if nothing happened.
Why are we doing this?
What are we stopping her from talking for?
Right. That's how they got up to $20 million. They said she mentioned it about 20 times so far. So
but she don't have $20 million.
No, she doesn't. Right.
You can't sue somebody for just.
Now, she been with 20 million people.
Oh, my God.
Thank everyone.
I'm not, you know, look, did I think she's telling the truth? But there's some sketchy stuff, too.
Really,
because
Mike?
She, on three times. She said and signed documents that said she never had relations with the man. She never had sex with him. Mm-hmm. Then she says, well, I did say that I didn't, but I really did. Okay, they're going
to
use that against her.
Yeah, she was scared. Her family, all that.
Now, do I believe the woman? Yeah.
Yeah.
But now, the reasons for her doing it, to clear my name, no. See, you can't be a porn star and be concerned with your name. That ain't
Stormy Daniels.
Well, yes, I mean, in a way, you can. It's just like she's saying,
she right.
I didn't lie about that.
Okay.
You're lying on me about saying that, right?
She's upfront about being a porn star. Mm-hmm. Huh? She's up front about being
no,
being
I'm
a
cool
porn
with
star.
All of that.
Yeah.
But that concern about your name is the part.
Yeah.
See.
Yeah. Your video do a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean she's a liar.
That I would be concerned about. Yeah.
But that means she's a liar,
that's
though?
Her occupation. Yeah. That doesn't mean she's lying about what happened.
No, I'm not saying she like, okay, hold up now. What y'all not finna do? Hold on. Hold on.
Is what?
What you
getting?
I'm
just sincere.
No. What you gonna do is not internally try to spin this. Because y'all know good and hell well what y'all really be saying. So now let's not get on the radio and all of a sudden be colorful Christians.
No, I believe what she said. I believe, yeah.
I totally believe her. I mean,
I believe her too. Mm-hmm. But okay, I'm telling you what they gonna do in court. Mm-hmm. Mm. Them lawyers is gonna hold up the document that Donald Trump did not sign. They gonna hold up the interviews where she said, he never had sexual relations with me. The document that said nothing ever happened, it was just she was there taking pictures and making appearances. They got that all documented. Said it and in writing. Now the fact that you want to come back, because as Anderson Cooper said last night, see, pay very close attention.
Sunday night. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Could this be because you stand to make a lot more money? She says, well, I am making more money with appearances. But see, there's a book deal. There's possibly some other stuff. So that's why they offered to give them the $130,000 back. Mm-hmm. Because they know there's millions on the table.
I still think she's an honest porn star.
All right, listen. Coming up next, we have the nephew and run that prank back, all right?
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Coming up at the top of the hour, we're going to discuss voting registration drives for the March for Our Lives activists. Plus, Miss Ann will also have today's national news. But right now, it is time for the nephew to run that prank back. What you got, Neff?
We're going to run that thing back, Shirley. This is the Gospel Church Quiz.
This is Grant.
Hi, Grant. Grant Stevens, right?
Yes.
Hey, Grant, this is Brother Lewis Finley. I'm calling from Mount Sinai Missionary Baptist Church. You and your wife just joined a couple weeks ago, am I right?
Absolutely, yes.
Okay. So now, listen, I wanted to reach out to you. I know you guys have started the orientation, and from my understanding, you finished one class of the orientation. You got three more to go. Is that right?
Yes.
All right. So first of all, I want to say welcome to Mount Sinai, and I hope you are enjoying yourself. I know that you and your wife are a mixed couple. You're Caucasian, and she's black. Are you liking the church so far, Grant?
Absolutely. We really are enjoying it. We completed our first orientation, and so far we're really enjoying it.
Okay. Did I catch you at a bad time?
I am at work right now, but it's okay. I've got a couple minutes.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to call you, man. I was worried. I know you, because I don't think you know this, but you are the first Caucasian to join our church. And I just want to make sure you kind of knew the language and just kind of knowing what the black church is all about. And there's certain sayings and different things I think you should know so that, I just don't want you to say the wrong thing while you at the church. Does that make sense?
Okay.
Okay. So what I wanted to do, like, I wanted to give you a little black church quiz so you can kind of, maybe if you could, it'll let me know where you are. You know, if you want a lower level or a high level as far as being knowledgeable about the black church. Like, fill this blank in for me, Grant, if you don't mind. I just want to take a little bit of your time, and I'll let you get back to work. But first of all, give a blank to God.
Give a...
What would go in that blank right there? First of all, give a blank to God.
Yeah, all I can think of off the top of my head is give thanks to God.
No, that's wrong. See, what it is, first of all, give a honor to God. All right, remember that. Oh. First of all, give a honor to God. You got that?
Okay, yes.
Okay, first of all, give a honor to God, who is the blank of my life. What goes in the blank? First of all, give an honor to God, who is the blank of my life.
The love of my life.
No. See, that's wrong. First of all, give an honor to God, who is the head of my life.
Are you sure?
I'm sorry.
Okay. Are you sure? Are you sure about that?
Oh, I'm definitely sure about mine. Don't. What I don't want you to do is question what I know. I'm from the black church. I know. You
okay.
No.
I wasn't questioning you, sir. I'm sorry. I've just always heard it that way. But
okay. So I'm trying to give you the understanding of knowing what the black church is about. You understand?
I understand. I appreciate you. I apologize, sir.
Okay. Look,
I don't know these answers, obviously, but I've got a meeting I got to get to here in a minute. Like, I'm curious, does everyone in the church get these phone calls?
Well, wait a minute, Grant. I know you have a meeting, but what's more important, your meeting or knowing your position at the black church? What's more important?
I really don't have time for this right now. I can't believe this is actually happening. Like, does your pastor even know that you're calling me right now?
Well, no, I took the liberty of myself when I realized you was Caucasian that I would call and try to help you so you would know what to do when you're in the black church when people are saying certain things. Okay. Grant, if you don't mind, just do this for me, Grant. Like, do you know what hooping is?
Hooping? Like hula hooping?
No. Hooping is when the pastor is at the end of his sermon. So listen to this. Good God Almighty. Do that for me if you would, Grant.
Oh, Lord. Oh, God Almighty.
No. One more. You with me now. Oh, Lord. Good God Almighty. Try it again, Grant.
I can't believe I'm doing this. Oh, Lord, oh, yeah. Oh, God Almighty.
Okay. Hey, Grant, do you think maybe it's possible that me and you can have some sessions before you come back to the church and I can prepare you more?
Hey, man, listen, you have caught me at a really bad time, and I'm quite honestly just so frustrated. Like, I've never heard of a quiz like this. I'm really offended, to be honest with you. Like, do you guys not want me to go to your church anymore? Like, a matter of fact, dude, you should be calling my wife right now. She's black.
Well, she should already know the quiz question. You the one don't know. Why I'm going to call her? I should call you.
I am at work right now. I have a meeting to get to in just a minute. I don't know what you're doing. And I hold on a second. I have got to close my office door. This is so embarrassing. I have never ever received a phone call like this in my life, and you better be lucky. I want to talk to your pastor. I am going to talk to him next Sunday, no joke.
Well, I didn't mean for you to get hostile like that. I didn't mean to upset you or nothing like that. Well, can I say something else to you?
One last thing, and I have to go.
Okay, I just want to let you know that this is Nephew Tommy from the Steve Harvey Morning Show. Your wife, Carolyn, got me to prank phone call you.
Shut up. Shut up. Oh, my God. I am so sorry. I am so sorry.
Are you good? You all right?
I'm all right, man. I'm all right. A little embarrassed, but I'm all right.
Grant, you got to do it for me one more time. Oh, Lord, good God Almighty.
Oh, Lord, oh, yeah, God Almighty.
Okay, man, look, do this for me. Tell me, what is the baddest radio show in the land?
The Steve Harvey Morning Show, all the way.
What y'all think about that?
I love Grant. I just love him.
Yeah.
Somebody gonna hurt you.
Hey, man. It is the Black Church
soon
Quiz.
Soon and very soon, we are going to see the king. That'll be you, Tom.
Yes, sir. I tell you when it is, me, though. April 5th, 6th, and 7th, Lexington, Kentucky. Comedy. Off Broadway, The Nephew is coming. I got two shows. What's it? One Thursday, two Friday, two Saturday. All right? Two Friday, two Saturday. Now, when I sell this out, just like I sold out Memphis.
You calling that?
Surely Netflix will be calling me then, because that could be two weekends in a row. Come on now. I'm on deck here. Hello, Netflix. Come holler at your boy. Thank you, sir.
Box calling.
Tommy, I need 2 tickets for Lexi.
That helps.
Without the attitude.
Without all that.
That
helps.
Without all that. What day you said? Let me hear them again. April what? Come on.
April 5th, 6th, and 7th, Carla. 1 Thursday, 2 Friday, 2 Saturday.
Okay, let me get some
Saturday.
Let me text
them.
Yes.
Now, I can't sell out if all y'all getting comps for friends. How that's going to work?
Well, how does it work?
Can I have some tickets? We work together, that's why.
Yeah, it doesn't look right if we have to buy our own tickets. That's
why I look like telling my friend Tommy told me no.
Yeah. All right, well, coming up at the top of the hour, Miss Ann is going to be here with our national news. And young people, it is time to register to vote.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, here's a programming note before we do the 7 o'clock. Attorney Benjamin Crump, who has represented the families of Trayvon Martin, Michael Brown, and Tamir Rice, will be our special guest at 8:41 Eastern Time, 7:41 Central, to update us on the case with the facts on the investigation of the fatal shooting, another one, fatal shooting of an unarmed 22-year-old man whose name is Stephon Clark out of Sacramento, California. He was shot 20 times by the police, and the community is demanding justice. All right, well, quickly switching gears here. The March for Our Lives is over, but the student drive for gun reform is just beginning. Moving forward, it's all about registering to vote now. The new activist message is the youth of America needs to step up and start voting. One student survivor said, "You see the statistics. It was an embarrassing turnout. Only 1 in 5 voters ages 18 to 29 turned out for the last election." I see change.
Oh, it's going to be better this time.
I see change. Yeah. Way better.
Oh. Hey, man, they had Rick Scranton. You remember him?
Yeah, Rand Rick Santorum.
Santorum, you mean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Did you say Scranton?
Scranton. Yeah. That's
in Ohio?
You know, when I said it, I said, that's really not his name.
I was searching. I was like, Rick Scranton. Yeah.
What's his name again?
Rick Santorum. Rick Santorum. Santorum.
You know what this fool said?
Yeah.
But the children.
He said, instead of these young people.
Yeah.
Wanting somebody else to do something, they should do something to solve the problem themselves, like learn CPR, so when one of their fellow classmates is shot, they could possibly save their life.
Right.
That's like saying we know it's going
to
be another shooting.
Yeah,
he was like,
he said that.
No, he did.
On CNN.
He did.
He said it.
He works for CNN, yeah.
And I noticed it right away. I said, and Van Jones was on the show.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they didn't go to Van right away. Van whole face changed.
Yeah.
Because, see, I'm just sitting up in there. And nobody really said anything right away. But I went, okay, but now they're making it a story. This idiot says, instead of these young people wanting someone else to do something for them, meaning change these, because these are meaningless gun laws you're asking us to do. They're meaningless. Yeah. Do something to help yourselves. Learn CPR so when one of your fellow classmates is shot, you can save their life.
Yeah.
I'll be damned. Get rid of that gun, you idiot.
I'll be damned. Yeah.
Okay.
That was unbelievable.
Now that's a Republican comment right there. A Republican politician comment who gets money from the NRA to remain in power. And he can't go against that.
Yeah.
That's the problem, y'all. They can't go against NRA because they will pull money from your campaign and put it towards somebody else. And you out of power, you out of money, and you out of control. And nothing is more important to them than that. And that includes your damn life.
All right, Steve, she's here.
Ladies and gentlemen, Miss Ann Tripp.
Good morning, everybody. This is Ann Tripp with the news. And here we go. In California, the grandmother of 22-year-old Stephon Clark calling on the city of Sacramento to do something about the way its cops treat possible suspects. All this in the wake of the shooting to death of Stephon Clark in his family's backyard while merely holding a cell phone.
They didn't have to kill him like that. They didn't have to shoot him that many times. Justice! I want justice for my baby! I want justice for Stephon Clark! Please give us justice!
Police claim to have been looking for a man who was breaking car windows, although there was no evidence that Stephon was doing anything other than taking the shortcut home through some backyards. White cops shot him at least 20 times. Again, he had no weapon. He only had a cell phone. Members of the Sacramento Kings and the Boston Celtics took up the case on Sunday wearing Stephon Clark's name on their workout jerseys. Russian diplomats being being expelled from cities across the U.S. and Europe after the Russians allegedly poisoned a former double agent living in the U.K. and his daughter. British Prime Minister Theresa May told the Parliament she's grateful for the NATO allies' support.
Together we have sent a message that we will not tolerate Russia's continued attempts to flout international law and undermine our values.
British officials say the Russians are behind the poisoning of Sergei and Ulus Rupal, and they say they used a Soviet-era military-grade chemical weapon to do it. The Trump administration is expelling 60 Russian diplomats, at least 48 diplomats and their families being told to leave the Russian embassy in Washington, a dozen more from the Russian mission in New York, and authorities say the consulate in Seattle is being shut down completely. By the way, Russia strongly denies all this. Linda Brown, who as little girl was at the center of the Brown versus Board of Education Topeka, Kansas case that ended segregation in American schools. Miss Linda Brown has died. She was 75 years old. She died Sunday afternoon in Topeka, Kansas. She was 9 years old in 1951 when her father, Oliver Brown, tried to enroll her at an all-white school near their home. They didn't let her in. They went to court. The city of Atlanta's computer networks under cyber attack that began 6 days ago. The shutdown has crippled some customer services and has backlogged Atlanta's justice system and municipal document offices. The nation's oldest gun maker, Remington, has filed for bankruptcy protection. Yesterday's announcement coming, of course, on the heels of this past weekend's massive anti-gun rallies. And finally, today is Quirky Country Music Song Titles Day. Get it? You know, titles like this one.
Drop kick me, Jesus, through the goalposts of life.
Through the goalpost of life. We'll be back with more entertainment and today's trending topics 20 minutes after the hour of the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
The ratings are in. The Stormy Daniels interview got the highest ratings for 60 Minutes in a decade. That is 10 years ago. The second highest ratings were the Obamas after the 2008 election. But now, Steve, Stormy Daniels' 60 Minutes interview can't be good for the president on the home front with his wife, Melania. Stormy Daniels claimed that she...
Steve, what are you going through right now?
It's so much hell at that house right now.
Yeah, please, break it down.
He can't go to Mar-a-Lago. He can't go to Trump Towers. And that damn East Wing, she way over on the West Wing.
Yeah.
Lil Byron only play in the Rose Garden. He don't even come up there by the window. Lil Byron, poor Lil Byron. I feel sorry for that little dude.
Mm-hmm.
Byron. You know, he just over in there going, man, them kids at school going, hey, your dad.
Everybody said, man.
You know, everybody and said, he ain't fighting nobody.
How old is he?
You know, he ain't no fighter, though. He ain't whooping nobody ass.
How old is
he? See, I be up at 12. The school. I'd have been expelled.
He's 12.
12.
Oh, yeah.
I hope he's going to school with snappy comebacks because he need them.
All of them today. Your mama's first.
He need a bag of your mama, Joe.
Right now.
Byron's going to be okay. Byron, whatever.
Baron.
His name is Baron.
Because his mama fine.
Yeah, cute mama. Yeah.
You know, my mama come up to the school. You knew she was my mama. You knew. She had that coat on and had no buttons on it.
Yeah.
Pulled together.
Holding it with one
hand.
Right. And when she let it go, it was just to backhand my ass.
Why are you saying that? Why?
The only times I got my ass whooped at that school, man. But anyway, he's struggling. What's happening at Don's house? Let me explain to you what it is. He wants to talk to the media right now.
Yeah.
He wants to be sitting in the briefing. He wants to walk into the war room. Because the war room got more peace in it than that bedroom.
That war room got
more
peace.
Yeah, he in the war room. And then Melania walking by, probably talking to him in Czechoslovakia. You don't know what that vinga honga klinga. What the hell?
Why are you so stupid?
She cussing him out.
What did they say?
Vinga honga klinga. Vinga honga klinga.
Oh, man.
She probably speaking all kind of languages.
She's tearing up places. What she doing?
Up, boy.
And Steve, he can't call his son. He going through
the same thing. They talking to
How
each
you
other.
Doing?
Oh, Donald Trump Jr., you mean? Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, you talking about his son?
Yeah. He going through it, too. Yeah.
Oh, he does.
Don't see why.
And all right, I saw the girl he had.
Wait, one more time.
Coming up at 34 after the hour, Carl and I are going to talk about the movie Acrimony.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, so Carla, have you seen the trailers for the movie Acrimony?
Yes, girl. Taraji. Yes. Yes.
That's right. Be scared. Be afraid, Jay. Be very afraid.
I don't want to go to a theater where this is playing.
This stars our girl. This stars our girl. We love her. Taraji P. Henson. She plays a, you know, a good woman, a faithful woman. She's wronged by her man after she stood by him. See, that's the thing. When you stand by your man for a long time,
and he wrongs you.
You know what they say. Hell hath no what? Fury.
With a woman with a hammer in her hand.
Like a woman. Like a woman scorned. And Taraji, definitely.
No, like a woman with a hammer in her hand.
We can change it. That's good. That works. That works.
Gasoline.
Well,
scissors.
Yeah, Taraji definitely, Carla, is scorned in Acrimony, okay? We've both been there. I mean, we've been there. What woman hasn't, you know? If it's had a bad relationship, you know, we've been in that role of a woman scorned before. Let's just say that. Mm-hmm. I can honestly say, though, the craziest thing I've done because of love is probably broken my toe.
You broke your toe?
Yeah, I broke it. I broke my toe. It was an accident.
You broke your
toe.
Okay, so you ain't going to say what you did.
It was an accident. It was an accident.
I'm talking about where you broke his femur.
Shirley?
Yeah. Shirley broke a man's bone with her foot.
What?
Yeah. Now, y'all don't know.
I didn't know that.
In the words of Carla Farrell,
baby, you better say it.
Say it, Carla. Say it. Allegedly. Yes.
Shirley, that's not going to work on anything. Dude, so hard, she broke her toe, but broke his femur bone.
What? Go, wow. Girl.
High five. Wow. All right, Carla, come on. Come on. What's the craziest thing you've ever done for love?
The movie about her.
It's my life story. Taraji is playing me, baby.
Taraji playing Carla.
Tyler talked to Carla and wrote the movie.
I love it. Yes. Well, allegedly, there was an Escalade involved.
A car? Cadillac Escalade?
Uh-huh, SUV.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
And allegedly, some keys. They can't find the keys, though. It's a cold case.
To this day? Allegedly. Taraji P. Henson stars in Tyler Perry's Acrimony. It is in theaters this Friday.
Is this a date night movie?
No. Yes. Yes, it is. Yes, it is, Jay. Bring your man,
this girl's
lady.
Night out is what that is.
Yeah, y'all going
in there. Did y'all see when she threw that brick through that car? That windshield? You know, yes.
What? Yes. Good work, Taraji. Good work.
Yeah, all right, you got to
start with that. Acrimony.
Yeah. Carla would be given several standing ovations doing this movie.
What does that mean? No, and what does acrimony
mean? Like bitter, angry.
Yeah, resentment.
Yeah, all of that.
Oh.
Yeah.
I've been married to, didn't even know what it meant. Get out of here.
I had to ask Shirley to know what that meant.
Acrimony in theaters this Friday.
Who we going, Shirley? Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes.
No, you don't want to get bitter, Jay. You know what they start with? They start with, you think you just going to leave me?
You think I'm going to just sit here and take that? When you hear that?
That's.
I'm not joining in on this.
Oh, you've been there in the past.
Have you heard that before?
Steve is a group discussion, man. Join in.
I've been in this whole movie.
Okay, well, let me just ask you this. Did you get even or did you get over it?
I just got over it. I ain't got even with nothing. Hell no. If I did the same thing to her they did to me, man, I'd be in jail. Yeah, I don't even do it. I done had the front window broke. I'm talking about, she bust a windshield.
Yeah.
Because she knew I wasn't going to run over.
Right.
So she just stood there and leaned into it. But I done had a windshield busted out.
Taraji P. Henson stars in Tyler Perry's Acrimony in theaters this Friday.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Coming up at the top of the hour, right about 4 minutes after today's Strawberry Letter. Oh, and it's going to be a good one. You don't want to miss it. But right now, it is the nephew here with today's prank phone call. What you got, Neff?
You know, I'm looking through my Rolodex. I just don't know which one to play. You know, my archive. Unc, will you pick one for me? Can you do that?
Okay, yeah.
Oh, can you act a little less interested, though?
Well, he ain't, so hell. The hell, that's why I'm doing it. He ain't got no juice in him today. I'm pushing him hard as I can, but he just wants to give up. Let's go back and get a classic. Since you're dying, let's dig up that dude's grandmama and move her.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man, that's
Mr. Calhoun. You ain't finna move on, right?
You ain't finna do that.
I tell you what, Mr. Calhoun.
I just got these kids to stop crying.
Oh, no. That's the comb and brush. Okay, here it is.
Hello, I'm trying to reach Mr. Yeah, this. Hey, listen, my name is Sean. Did you have a uncle that passed away named?
Yep.
All right. He your uncle, right?
Yeah, that's my uncle. We read him about 3.5 months ago.
Right. Well, the reason why I was calling was I'm the person that actually cut your uncle hair when he passed away.
Okay.
So the reason why I was calling is the situation is when I cut his hair, and I know you don't know the history about me, but my daddy and my granddaddy was barbers. We all barbers.
Okay, come on, bro. Get down to the bottom because you're talking about my uncle, man, and I'm trying to see what's going on for real.
Okay, and I'm sorry to call you like this, but what I'm telling you is that my granddaddy and my daddy, they had passed down a brush and a comb to me.
Okay.
That is like a sentimental value.
Okay.
But for the last 2-3 months, I ain't been able to find the comb and the brush that I used when I had cut his hair.
Okay, go ahead.
And what I was trying to call and tell you was that I can't find it, and I'm almost certain.
So what can I do to help you find comb brush, partner?
That's what I'm saying. When I did Mr. hair and edged it up at the funeral home, that's the last time I remember having it.
But this was 3 months ago, man.
Right. It was about 3 months ago. What I'm trying to say is I left the comb and brush and, you know, went to the funeral home and did his hair.
Okay.
And I talked to the funeral home, and they told me that, you know, if I'm trying to find the comb and brush, I got to get permission.
Man, what color is the comb and brush? What's the color of the comb and brush?
It's black. Both of them black. The comb is black and the brush.
He got all kind of combs that black and gold, man.
No. See, what I'm saying is the comb and brush is black, and I know I lost it, but I'm almost certain about where it is.
Okay, so if you're certain about where it is, why you calling me?
That's the reason why I'm calling you, because I'm almost certain I left it with him.
You left it with my dad?
So I called the funeral home. They told me I need to call you in order to get permission to get it.
Okay, you call a funeral home to get permission from me that you can go get the comb and brush. From where? The funeral home? So you can go down there if they got it.
No. See, the comb and brush ain't with the funeral home. The comb and brush is in there with your uncle.
The what?
The comb and brush is in the casket.
Hold up, man.
Hold up,
I mean, I understand. You got to say that again.
I'm trying to say to you is that the comb and brush is in.
I'm trying to say and just say what you're
saying.
I'm
saying it, man. The comb and brush is in the casket with your uncle.
If it's in there, it's 6 feet.
Well, see, what I'm trying to say is that the comb and brush is sentimental value to me.
Bro, it couldn't have been too valuable if you lost it.
What it was, I value, you know, my work. So I just really got caught up in my work, really.
Too much if you talking about you left it with my uncle that's dead 3 months ago, man, what kind of is you talking about, homeboy?
All I'm trying to do with you is see if you don't mind approving for them to bring the body up so I can get the comb and brush.
You lost your mind.
But see,
bring the body up for a comb?
But what I'm trying to explain to you, this sentimental value, I'm trying to get y'all to bring the body up so I can get my comb and brush out of it. Because like I say, my daddy and my granddaddy was bald.
Dude, this whole thing is sentimental, man. You talking about my dead uncle, man, and you talking about bringing him up out of the ground for a comb, man. I just got these to stop crying around here.
And I understand what y'all going through as a family and stuff. See, man, I'm trying to just get my comb and brush.
Hey, man, and how you trying to go about doing this? I'll throw it off, homeboy. Because ain't nobody digging up no body to bring back no brush, man. But you got me pissed off now, man. Because you're calling me talking stupid, man. You talking about pulling my uncle, man? That's not
true, man. Man, I ain't trying to start no.
You talking about comb and brush, man? All these Walmart rags.
Okay, but I understand all that, but this is sentimental value, man.
Well, this sentimental to me, man.
This something that my
people
love me.
Sentimental to me, okay? That was my favorite uncle, man.
Okay,
you talking about pulling up this body, man?
I got
palm, boy.
Hey, man, I don't want no.
If you been cutting my uncle that long, man, you should know how he operates, man. And we don't get out like this here, man.
I ain't finna sit here and argue with you. Look, I got some people.
It ain't no argument.
I got some people that's here.
I mean, where you stay at, man?
Let me say this, man. I got some people that's here with me right now. You know, some of my friends, and we got some shovels. So I can actually go over there and go on and get the cone and brush now. And in the morning, ain't nobody gonna even
man,
know.
You ain't gonna go get now, but with the long boy.
Say what?
You don't get but whoop. You don't dig a whoop.
For going to get a comb and a
I got some shovels too. You talking about going to the cemetery to try to dig up my earth?
Hey man, I'm finna go on and tell you this right here.
What's wrong with you?
Hey man, I'm trying to get my comb and brush back. I ain't trying to have no problems with you. But I want my comb and brush.
Who the hell do you think you talking to, man? Go to Walgreens. Go to Walgreens. Go to Walmart. Go to Safeco. They got them.
Hey, man, ain't nobody. This ain't even about your uncle. This more than that. This
and you ain't even got no room to be hollering at me, all boy.
Ain't nobody hollering at you, man. All I'm telling you is I got a comb and brush in your uncle casket, and I want my brush.
Well, you dig one, did you might want to dig too.
Say what?
I'm going to brush, and you're going to fall right over in there. Around, yeah?
So what you think? You trying to dig a grave for me?
Man, do you know how long this been? I've been trying to get these out here. Stop crying, and man. Up, man. I dare you to with his mind. I dare you to with his man. Stop fucking, boy.
I understand what you're going through. I do.
Man, who the is this, man?
I told you, I'm the one crying here. And I want my...
You sound like a fuck up by digging on somebody's body, man. Overcome in a bush.
I got it. I just tried to call you like a man. Because I want to get the comb and brush, and I didn't want to go without getting your permission. Now, if I got to go without getting your permission, I will.
Cry with me, you don't know me. Don't cry with me, yeah, just cry with me.
It's sentimental to me.
Just cry with me. Man, your brush and your comb.
I want to say something else to you.
You ain't saying shit.
Are you listening?
What?
This is Nephew Tommy from the Steve Harvey Morning Show. You just got pranked by your boy,
man. Man, you a man.
Hello? Hey. You just got pranked by your boy,
man. I hope that got a brush of the car. Oh, Lord have mercy. I think I needed that cry.
Hey, man, I got to ask you, man. What is the baddest radio show in the land?
You know like I know. The Steve Harvey Morning
Did
show
I get you, man?
Goes down. Oh, man.
April 5th, 6th, 7th, The Nephew, Lexington, Kentucky. The Nephew is coming to town. Comedy off Broadway. Tickets on sale right now. 5 shows, and I guarantee you, I'm going to sell every last one of them out. Get your tickets right now while the getting is good.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Programming note, guys, the attorney Benjamin Crump has represented the families of, we know, Trayvon Martin, Michael Brown, and Tamir Rice. Well, make sure you listen up because Attorney Crump will be back. He's going to give us the facts on the investigation of the fatal shooting of an unarmed 22-year-old man. His name is Stephon Clark. He's from Sacramento, California. He was shot 20 times by the police, and the community is demanding justice. His family has retained Attorney Crump. He will be our special guest at 41 after this hour, so make sure you're here for that. And we're going to switch gears now with the Nephew. Come on, Neff. Time for the strawberry letter.
Buckle up, hold on tight. Here it is, strawberry letter.
Wow.
All right, subject, totally confused. Dear Stephen Shirley, I've been dating this guy for the past couple of months. We actually moved in with each other. He is married and expecting a baby. His wife does not live in the same state that we're in. At the beginning of this relationship, we had discussed the what ifs, but we decided to take it day by day. Well, we moved in together, and it's complicated. He flies out to see his wife, and the wife wants to come to the state that we're in, but he does not want that, and neither do I. The problem that I have is that we have gotten so close, and he told me that he loved me. I am starting to fall in love with him, but I know that there is no future in this relationship. This is the best relationship that I have had. I am so confused.
Oh.
This is a crazy letter. You've known a guy for 2 months and you guys move in. You don't even love this guy. If this nothing relationship is the best you've ever had, then you've got to ask yourself, why is this? I mean, who are you? I just have to ask you that. And don't you know that this is wrong? Well, if you don't know, this is, because in the letter, it doesn't seem like you know that this is just not right. You don't move in with a married man. You don't move in with any man after 2 months, let alone a married man. Nothing good can come out of this relationship. You're playing with a dangerous game, potentially deadly game here. You are living in a house with a married man. You said you discussed the what ifs. Well, here's a what if for you. What if his wife decides to surprise him one day and walk in on you guys? All right, did you discuss that what if? I mean, you haven't thought any of this out, have you? How in the world did he get you to agree to something like this, to move in with him after 2 months and he's married? I just have to just say this to you. Pack up your bags immediately and move out of this house. Pack up and get out, all right? This is crazy. You cannot be stupid in this situation. So I just wanted to clear up some of the confusion for you. This is wrong, 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 and you could get killed, all right?
I can tell you by surprise. I'm just saying.
Steve?
Oh. Yeah.
So crazy. Yes, go. Yeah. Your turn.
There's so much wrong with this letter. First of all, you know, it started off like we were going to feel sorry for you because you got caught up in another lying man who was married and didn't tell you. But that's not the case. You knew going in that the dude was married and his wife was expecting and she lives in another state. You went into this knowing. So there is no sorriness for you. And I don't know what you expect me or Shirley to tell you. But do let me say this. His wife does not live in the same state that we are in. At the beginning of this relationship, we had discussed the what ifs, but we decided to take it day by day. Okay, the what ifs. Okay, let me ask you something. After y'all discuss the what ifs, what y'all say? Because I'm trying to figure out how you all discussed the what ifs, and then after discussing all the what ifs, y'all went forward with this. Okay? Are you leaving your wife? Probably not. How long, how many months is your wife expecting? Does your wife know about me? Probably not. Suppose I get pregnant. We'll just take that day by day. What's going to happen when the baby's born? What are you going to do as the father and the husband? I don't know. I probably have to move on back over there or they move in here. Mm. What if things get a little more? Suppose I get pregnant. I don't know. What else was y'all two idiots discussing and that made y'all go, okay, all right, we didn't discuss the what ifs. And most of the what ifs in this is all wrong. After you discuss all of the what ifs, what made y'all move in together? I have to assume that we're talking about two real life idiots here.
Right, Steve.
I mean, that's the only thing I can. We got to be talking. The two of you are just two of the most airhead ass people that evidence sat down and had a damn discussion. And both y'all so stupid that you didn't know that the other one was stupid. Because once you sit down and what if this situation, none of the what ifs is good. And it's just crazy. You moved in with a dude you ain't knew but a couple of months. It's one thing to have sex with a guy that you ain't knew but a couple of months. You done moved him in.
Woo!
But he married, and he's expecting a baby. Who are you? It just don't make no damn sense. This is got to be the most blatant form of stupidity I've seen
Other than that strawberry letter, when we had that lady slept with her two damn son-in-laws.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Other than that one.
That was pretty stupid.
And the one that slept with her dad after she found out he was her dad. Yeah, that was pretty stupid.
I mean, well, no, they were sleeping together before. And then there wasn't a pregnancy test or nothing that said it was a dad. That one right here. This one here, though.
Okay.
No, I mean, I didn't really care about that because I was just, you know, once you take the paternity test, you find out it's your daddy and you still sleeping with him. Now both of y'all, it's a sickness now.
Oh, okay.
See, we off into
beyond
sickness
stupidity.
Now.
Oh, yeah.
Stupidity. See, we in therapy. This okay. ain't therapy right here.
Okay.
This is just common sense.
This is just two dumbass people that got together and done just some dumbass mess.
Uh-huh.
And now she done wrote a dumbass letter.
Yeah.
Like we supposed to be all right with this. Here go, the problem that I have, okay, his wife wants to come to the state we're in, but he does not want that, and neither do I. Ta-da! Wasn't that one of the what-ifs? But then, guess what she say? The problem that I have is that we have gotten so close, and he told me that he loved me. I'm starting to fall in love with him.
What?
That ain't the problem.
After 2 months?
This ain't the damn problem.
Uh-uh. It's that
this the problem.
The baby.
That's what you
said. This is the problem.
Come on, Steve.
Whoa. All this other before. Now the threat of her wanting to come. This all of a sudden is the damn problem.
This
the problem.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, Steve, come on. Let's go to part two of your response to today's strawberry letter. What you got?
All right. Here we go. Right now. She's been dating this guy for 2 months. They move in. She knowingly moved in with this man who is married and expecting a baby. His wife don't live in the same state. And at the beginning of the relationship, they discussed the what ifs. But they decided to take it day by day. Well, that's stupid. Mm-hmm. What day by day? You didn't think none of these days was going to come? You didn't think the wife was ever going to want to visit? You ain't think he was going to have to do something about that baby coming? What if did y'all discuss and decided, yeah, we should move on with this ignorant relationship? Now the wife wants to come to the state that we are in, but he does not. Now she don't want to come to the state and visit. She want to move to the state. But now listen to this. He does not want that, and neither do I. I don't give a damn what either one of y'all want. You ain't the wife, and you ain't having the baby. You the other chick. You the chick on the side. You don't get no votes. I don't know why people, man, all of a sudden think you're going to get votes and rights up in here. That ain't how this work. He don't want that. The problem that I have is that we have gotten so close, and he told me he loved me, and I'm starting to fall in love with him. How the hell are you to move in with somebody you ain't in love with in the first damn place? But I know that there's no future in this relationship. This is the best relationship that I have had. I am so confused. Okay, now, first of all, if this is the best relationship you've ever had, you have to redefine what a good relationship is and should be.
All right, Steve, you know we got to get out of here. We got to go. Email us or Instagram us your thoughts on today's strawberry letter at My Girl Shirley. And don't forget, this coming Thursday, I will be doing the Strawberry Letter live after show on Facebook at 1:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Please join me. Okay? Switching gears.
Shirley, I'm finna go out here and
what are you
run this
do?
Bus now. I just saw it go past my stop. I'll be right back.
All right, well, Steve, I got to tell you this. Kevin Hart tried to get LeBron James to come on over to the land of cheesecake. Rocky and the 2018 Super Bowl champs, you know what I mean, talking about Philly, of course. Kevin sent LeBron James $40 and said, come to Philadelphia. So, Steve, according to Kevin, what was LeBron's response?
What do you think he said?
$40? You're like coming to damn Philadelphia for $40?
Yes, Steve.
He got cheesecake money.
That's kind of what he said. According to Kev, LeBron's response to him was, kiss his, you know what, his butt.
Yeah, ass.
Yes.
I knew you would love it.
And he down there anyway, because the height, Kevin is right there at ass level.
Oh,
it don't take much.
You ain't got to jump.
No.
Kevin,
or bend over.
Yeah. Kevin went on to say, I don't see him leaving Cleveland. I just don't see it.
What do you see, Steve? I think he's gone. I think coming to L.A.
That's what everybody says.
LA. It ain't enough talent in L.A. right now. Ball need another year. I'm starting to like that Ball kid more and more I seen, though.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they got a couple of cool players. He got a house out here, but I don't know, man. If he leave, but see, yo, what y'all don't understand is.
What?
Now, sadly, though, and I do not like the fact that Golden State is hurting right now. I do not like Steph having an injury. Durant got an injury. Draymond got an injury. And Klay got an injury.
Yeah.
Right now, we could whoop Golden State ass in the ground if we played the team they put out there the other day. But that ain't going to happen. So, hopefully, Golden State to get healthy.
Yeah.
Because I want them healthy.
You want everybody on the court.
Right. No, I want excuses. Everybody on the court. But right now, as the Cavaliers are coming back, Love.
Oh, man.
The young boys, a couple boys we got that's hurt. Because a lot of Cavs is hurt. Once they get healthy, man, hey, man, I think the Cavs going to make a run at it.
Yeah. You know. But trust me. Houston's shutting everybody down this year.
Yeah, don't sleep on
Houston's
the Rockets.
Houston's shutting
back.
Everybody down.
The Houston is having a great year.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm going to reserve mine until we get to the playoffs. I've seen us in the playoffs.
Well, y'all been here going hard. Because y'all can get past San Antonio, got a hard time getting in right now.
Yeah.
That was the troublemakers for y'all. The Thunder is not playing because the only one really balling is Westbrook, as usual. Paul George, when he ain't hurt, he ball. Melo, mentally.
Ain't hit a shot in 3 weeks.
He ain't in the game. Melo's just not in it mentally. He got some other stuff going on, I think. And so you don't have to worry about him. Sacramento ain't. Portland got a little squad, but they don't have enough experience. And, you know, I mean, Lakers, come on now. Let's cut this out.
I'm just happy y'all have said some names I've heard before so I can, like, at least keep.
So it's Houston and Golden State.
In the West.
Right now, they couldn't beat the Houston Rockets.
Golden State.
Not right now.
Not with all them people out. No.
But you'd have to hope all of them stay out, but they're not going to stay out.
No. They're going to come back. They're going to win.
Houston tough. But if Houston play the Cavaliers, they can't beat the Cavaliers.
Well, who the hell said that?
I just did.
I know my voice ain't good.
Who the hell said that? Get a little bit more energy. It don't matter what the hell you say with your little half sleepy ass.
Running down buses.
Right now, I can get your ass on a 40 right now the way you sound. I race your ass right now and could win this morning. I'll blow out both my hamstrings, but my lips across the tape first. I'm going with it. Oh, yeah. All I got to do is lean and get these lips out here on that tape. I won't have a hamstring, calf muscle, shin. My kneecaps will blow off if I try to run a full-blown 40.
Oh, man.
I'm running eight.
An eight.
Ready, set, two. Bing.
Over. That's it.
Yeah, that's all I got for you. I can run an eight. Matter of fact, it don't even take that long.
Mm. Did you run track, Steve?
Yeah, I did run track, too.
Yeah.
What?
Oh, you ran track too?
Wait, what?
Wait, what?
This is new.
Wait, what?
I ran track. He went to practice.
All right, we got to go, guys. Coming up in 10 minutes, it is time to get serious on this show. Attorney Benjamin Crump will be here. He's going to be our special guest as the demand for justice continues for Stephon Clark out of Sacramento.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Hey, listen, everybody. You know, the Sacramento, California area and our entire nation remains in a state of unrest over the death of Stephon Clark, the 22-year-old black male who was shot 20 times by police in the backyard of the home where he lived with his grandparents. Police reported that they believed he had a gun, but authorities recovered only a cell phone near his body. Over the weekend, protesters took to the streets of Sacramento demanding justice for the fatal shooting of Stephon Clark. Clark's family has retained civil rights attorney Benjamin Crump, and he's joining us this morning with some information on the murder investigation. Please welcome to the show again, sadly, but it is what it is, attorney Benjamin Crump.
Thank God for him.
Good morning.
Good morning, Steve.
Shirley and Tommy, Carl, everybody, Jay.
Good morning.
Well, much, man.
Attorney Crump, what can you tell us about what happened that night leading up to the murder of Stephon Clark?
You know, just like Terrence Crutcher's case in Oklahoma that you did an incredible interview with, just like that case, they had a helicopter in the air looking down on everything that happened. And in this particular case, we know from the helicopter video and the audio a lot of things. We know, number one, that Stephon Clark did not have a gun. No gun. Stephon Clark made no threats against the police. The police never identified themselves to Stephon Clark when they executed him, literally executed him, Steve, in his grandmother's backyard where he lived. And after they executed him, they offered him no humanity. The police gave him no humanity as he lay there dying on the ground for over 6 minutes before they approached him. And then they handcuffed him when they were he was lying motionless on the ground, Steve. And then after that there, one of them said some profane language, and then a supervisor, somebody in the helicopter said, mute your mics. And then they all muted their microphones. And that's where the family really believes they started to conspire to mislead so they can try to justify this execution of their loved one.
Okay, now, Attorney Crump, you have the recording from the helicopter, I take it.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Now, once again, this seems open shut. This again, you know, just appears to be open and shut, if that's the evidence. Let me ask you this, because you had alluded to it. Where was the halt, get on the ground, put your hands up, cross your fingers behind your head? Where was that?
The whole encounter lasted 17 seconds before they started shooting. And you don't take Ben Crump word for it. Steve, I invite all of the people in Steve Harvey Nation to go on YouTube and watch the Stephon Clark execution video, because that's what it was, simple and plain.
Wow.
And they didn't do this when a young white boy shot up a school in Florida. They didn't shoot him one time, but they shoot this young black boy who only had a cell phone 20 times. The guy who was bombing houses in Austin, Texas, they followed him for hours, but they didn't shoot him not one time, but they shot this black boy with a cell phone 20 times. And then they tried to deceive us afterwards, Steve, because the next morning they said, well, we had to shoot him like these many times because he had a gun. Mm-hmm. Then they had to walk that back, Steve. And then the next day after that, they said he had a toolbar or a crowbar. And then they had to walk that back, and then finally they came clean and said all he had was a cell phone. So this is yet another unarmed man being killed by the police unreasonably.
See, now, at one point in time, you know, the Justice Department is going to have to get involved in all of these police shootings and take it off of the state level. Because what's happening is, if it stays on the state level, then the police department does their business. Mm-hmm. We've got to get it on federal level, and there has to start to be some type of ramifications and consequences for killing unarmed people. Maybe then it would force police departments everywhere to sharpen their training. There's got to be a way, because all these people keep getting shot as black. Mm-hmm. And there's got to be a way to have some type of training. But once again, I'm going to say this. The problem with the training is, if you notice when you look at gun ranges and all that, all the targets they shoot at, they black.
Right. Mm-hmm.
They on white paper and they black. And I just think, man, that's just me. I just think there's a correlation there. That when you see the black figure, you produce the kill shot. Mm-hmm. It's target practice. Mm-hmm. It's not policing at that point. It's just target practice. 22 shots, 20 times they shoot at this boy. For what? It don't take 20 times to drop nobody.
Yep.
When he failed, could you not have then? Let me see your hands. Let me see something. I'm pretty sure he would have complied.
Never once they gave him a warning, Steve. Never once. And I have to say this, Steve, because I think what makes this so compelling is the fact that his grandmother, his little sister, his grandfather, and they were in the house. And his grandmother sleeps in the bedroom with the window that he was at when they were shooting him. So for the rest of her life, she sleeps in the bed knowing that a few feet away, her grandson was executed. And when you hear her tell the story, Steve, she says the police, because they called 911 when they heard the shots. And so then the police tell them, you know, they're checking on everything. Don't come out the house. Don't look out the windows or anything. There was a shooting in the backyard. And so they try to follow the police's instructions. It's around 9:30 when this happens. The next morning, grandfather has to go to dialysis. The next morning, at around 7 a.m., finally the police come and asked her, as grandfather's going to dialysis, do you have a photograph of Stefan? And she said, no, her answer. Her answer is, yes, I hope y'all didn't kill one of my grandboys in the backyard, because they always be out there sitting at the picnic table, not knowing that her grandson was actually killed. And so she was just riveted when she found out that they did indeed kill one of her grandboys.
Who he himself is the father of two young children.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, everybody. Stick around. We'll be right back with more with from Attorney Benjamin Crump.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Listen, everybody. We're back with Attorney Benjamin Crump. Here's the problem. Nothing happens to these police.
Yeah, they're on pay.
Because you're a police, it does not give you the authority to murder someone. Now, look, the majority of the police officers are good people. The majority of them are. The majority of them have signed up to do exactly what they claimed to, said they want to do, serve and protect the community. The majority of them are. And I'm not, this is not against all police. I know a lot of really great police officers, but it's the few that get through the cracks. Those people that have those preconceived notions of black people. That ain't got no problem putting one down. Want to have something to do. You shoot a boy 20 times who ain't firing back, throwing nothing at you. He ain't throw the crowbar at the window that you said he had, that he didn't have. He didn't shoot the gun that you said he had, that he didn't have. He ain't threw the phone at you. None of that. He didn't make one aggressive move towards you. And it requires 20 shots. That's
overkill.
That's crazy.
It's overkill.
And Stephen Jay, let me tell y'all this, because I am a national civil rights lawyer, and we deal with this stuff more times than the media ever reports. The sobering reality is that 73 other families since 2015 have experienced the same exact thing. More than 73 unarmed black men in America have had their lives cut short by police bullets. And let me highlight, unarmed black men, they all thought they had a weapon, and it turned out they had nothing.
73.
Wow.
73.
Unbelievable. So how many,
if you got black sons,
how many whites has this happened to?
You know, see, they said it's 92% African Americans get shot unarmed compared to 8% white men. Can you just think about that for a second? It's very rare they're going to shoot a white person. They're going to give them the benefit of the doubt, the benefit of consideration. But for whatever reason, black and brown people don't get that same benefit. And that's what it's all about, equal justice and due process. We don't want anything special. We just want our children to be given the same consideration that you give everybody else's children, whether they're in Austin, Texas, or Parkland, Florida. We love our children, too.
And the other thing is, these police officers usually get off.
Yeah.
Usually.
Paid leave. That's
what they're definitely on paid leave now.
Yeah, they always do. unless they just retired like the dude did in Ferguson.
Yeah.
He just went on and got out.
Yeah.
But, man, this is sad. But 75, unarmed.
Right.
Unarmed. Now, we ain't talking about the ones who, you know.
Exactly. Exactly,
that
Steve.
May have had a gun that they didn't pull out or just found a gun in the car or something like that. We're talking about completely unarmed people.
Yeah.
But how many of them have we seen on tape? We've seen countless of them. The video, man, just overhead. Now, if you tell a police officer, like Castillo, I think that's his name, he told him,
yep,
I got a gun in arm rest. Mm-hmm. Oh, here we go. Pow, pow. Man, that's...
Yeah.
It's really sad. So Steve, Benjamin.
Yes, sir.
No, go ahead. So,
I think, Steve, until we make them care about our black children like they care about their own black children, no police officers are going to ever go to jail because, as regrettably as it is to say, black lives just don't matter that much in our criminal justice system.
Yeah.
They get mad when you say they do.
See, the slogan has to change to Black Lives Matter also. That's all we're saying, because every time we come up with a slogan, they put a spin on it. Okay, Black Lives Matter. Well, white lives matter too. Well, we didn't say they didn't.
Yeah.
What we really meant was ours should matter too. You know, it's like, look, it's like this great campaign that women have, Me Too. Mm-hmm. See, they did it very smartly. Me Too. That's inclusive of everybody. It's Me Too. See, that's how you do it.
Let's try it.
Black Lives Matter too. Two. Mm-hmm. See, that includes everybody.
Everybody.
It includes the same as Asian lives, white lives, Latino lives. It just matters too. And man, We've got to get behind. Okay, let me ask you this. What's the next step in this case?
The next step, and, you know, Sacramento is a Democratic city, so there's hope that they're going to respond with some action. They have a black police chief, Steve, who was bought in to handle specifically these types of situations. So the next step is the funeral is going to be on Thursday at the city commission meeting. They're going to have it next week on the agenda where citizens can come and express themselves to their elected leaders. What I hope will be everybody goes down to that city commission meeting and people from around the nation figure out how we can call in or email in to that city commission and tell them that this needs to be an independent and fair investigation. Because right now, Steve, they're investigating themselves, and that's never good. We just saw how that turned out in Ferguson, how that turned out in Staten Island with Eric Gardner, Tulsa, Oklahoma. It's never good when they investigate themselves. So I don't know if we can get any federal support with who we have in the White House right now. So we got to take this upon ourselves and say the Attorney General of California needs to take over this case.
Yeah, man.
Thank you.
Sorry,
Ben.
We always got to talk on such solemn occasions, man. But thank you for being a rock out there and a strength and a shoulder that people can lean on, man. Keep on being a soldier. Attorney Benjamin Crump, everybody. Thank you, brother.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Steve. We fight for our people.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, guys, there's been an important addition to the royal wedding. We haven't talked much about the royal wedding.
There's been so much going on here.
Yeah, I know.
Yes.
Yeah, we haven't talked about. But Meghan Markle, the sister from California, right? And she was on the show Suits. Well, she's going to marry Prince Harry, okay?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So an addition has been made to the royal wedding guest list. Meghan Markle and Prince Harry intend to share their wedding is May 19th. They want to share it with as much of the public as possible, it says. Kensington Palace confirmed earlier this month that more than 2,000 guests will also include 200 people from Prince Harry's charity, 610 Windsor Castle community members, and 530 members of the royal households and crown estate. So that's a lot of people right there.
That's a big production.
Yeah, it is. And yet, for all the public knows about the wedding so far, there are still mysteries that remain. Like, people have been talking about, will the Spice Girls be there? Because, you know, they're from England and everything. Mm-hmm. They started over there. I'm talking Mel B, all of them, everybody.
Victoria Beckham.
Yeah, Posh, all of them, Posh Baby, Spice. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Will they really, you know, bring the 1990s back to Windsor Castle with a performance on that day? All of that people have been talking about. Yes. Mm-hmm.
During the reception, will they have like a soul food section?
Oh, you know, for Meghan Markle?
For her side, I mean, for her family.
They might. Yeah. You never know.
You know, they mom and them going to be there now. Yeah.
Her mom is going to be there, but
and we need some greens in there. Then.
Yeah,
we got to have that.
But up until now, her dad wasn't coming. But one such remaining question seemed to have been answered now, like I said. Over the weekend, Thomas Markle Sr., that is Meghan Markle's dad, father of the bride, he will be in attendance. This is according to a report from the Sun magazine, the Sun. While one would think a father attending a wedding, you know, no big deal, right? If your father's alive, why wouldn't he come to the wedding and give you away? Well, you know, people wouldn't think that was such a big deal, but his attendance wasn't exactly a foregone conclusion. According to a report, he is known to live a very secluded life in Mexico. Meghan did not invite her half-sister, Samantha Grant, nor her half-brother, so they're not coming. Thomas Sr. is overjoyed to be beside his little girl on the day she becomes a princess, even if he has to battle his demons to get there. I think, were they saying he was an alcoholic or something?
They're going to have some look at the wedding.
He had fallen on hard times or something. Earlier this year, word got out that Meghan's mother would walk her down the aisle. Now, that's a modern tradition. You know, the royals are steeped in tradition, so having your mom walk you down the aisle, they're kind of like, you know.
My mom walked me down the aisle because I had issues, you know, with my wedding with my dad, and I didn't ask my dad to walk me down the aisle. So my mom did, but. You know,
I walked myself down there. My mom was sitting on the front pew. I walked my own.
Well, usually, you're the groom. Usually, the groom.
Yeah.
Go down by themselves. Yeah.
Yeah.
The act is the father is giving the daughter away to you, the groom, to take her and protect her.
But you know what? It's kind of cool though, Tommy, because some weddings they include the family and all that. Yeah, yeah, I get you.
Uh-huh. I mean, you can change. It's tradition.
You can change
the
tradition.
Yeah, but you can do it. Like, she was changing it, you know, to have her mom take her down. Now she's going to also be on her dad's arm. So.
So they both walk it out.
That's what it says. So far, we'll see. Again, the wedding is May 19th, and everybody's looking forward to it.
May what?
I can't wait.
May 19th. All right, we'll be back with more of the Steve Harvey Morning Show right after this.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
The ratings are in. The Stormy Daniels interview got the highest ratings for 60 Minutes in a decade. That is 10 years ago. The second highest ratings were the Obamas after the 2008 election. But now, Steve, Stormy Daniels' 60 Minutes interview can't be good for the president on the home front with his wife, Melania. Stormy Daniels claimed that she...
Steve, what are you going through?
What are you going through right now?
It's so much hell at that house right now.
Yeah, please, break it down.
He can't go to Mar-a-Lago. He can't go to Trump Towers. And that damn East Wing... She way over on the West Wing.
Yeah.
Lil Byron only play in the Rose Garden. He don't even come up there by the window. Lil Byron, poor Lil Byron. I feel sorry for that little dude.
Baron.
You know, he just over in there going, man, them kids at school going, hey, your dad.
Everybody said, man.
You know, and he ain't fighting nobody.
How old is he?
No fighter, though. He ain't whooping nobody's ass.
How old is he?
See, I'd be up at 12. The school. I'd have been expelled.
He's 12?
12.
Oh, yeah.
I hope he's going to school with snappy comebacks because he need them.
Of them today. Your mama's first.
Yeah. He need a bag of your mama jokes
right now.
Byron gonna be okay. Byron, whatever.
Baron.
His name is Baron.
Cause his mama fine.
Yeah, cute mama. Yeah.
You know, my mama come up to the school. You knew she was my mama. You knew she had that coat on and had no buttons on it.
Yeah.
Pulled together,
holding it with one finger.
Hand. Right, right.
And when she let it go, it was just to backhand my ass.
Why are you saying that? Why?
How many times I got my ass whooped at that school, man. But anyway, he's struggling. What's happening at Don's house? Let me explain to you what it is. He wants to talk to the media right now.
Yeah.
He wants to be sitting in the briefing. He wants to walk into the war room. Because the war room got more peace in it than that bedroom.
That war room got
In the war room. And then Melania walking by, though, probably talking to him in Czechoslovakia. You know what that vinga, vinga. What the hell?
Why are you so stupid?
You don't. She cussing him out.
What did they say?
Vinga, honda, vinga. Vinga, honda, honda, vinga.
Oh, man.
She probably speaking all kind of language.
He's tearing up places. What's she doing?
Up,
boy. And Steve, he can't call his son. He going through
the same thing. They talking to
How
each
you
other.
Doing?
Oh, Donald Trump Jr., you mean? Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, you talking about his son?
Yeah. He going through it, too. Yeah.
Oh, he does. Oh,
see, boy.
And I saw look. The girl he had.
Wait, one more time.
Coming up, closing remarks at 49 after.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, here we are at the last break of the day. Steve, we've had a good day, talked about a lot of stuff. And of course, as usual, it is time for your closing remarks.
Today, I want to keep it positive, but I want to keep it encouraging at the same time. And always, as usual, I just want to say this before I start. It's not that I think I know everything, because I don't. But in my 61 years, I have learned quite a bit. I have learned how to come from the back towards the front. I've learned how to be at the bottom and work my way towards the top. I've learned how to get over, because I've been under. I've learned how to win, because I have lost so many times. I've learned how to develop an understanding, because I have been more than confused before. So I have paid for these lessons that I've learned. So I'm just sharing, and that's all I'm doing. You don't have to take any of this that I say to heart, or you may choose to go another way. But for those that are really open to just hearing some theories of success, that's why I decided to start doing closing remarks again. Today, I want to talk to you about something that really helps everybody. And it's very simple. Get focused. You got to get focused, folks. You've got to become what I call laser beam driven. You've got to set your goals and visions up. And you've got to put those blinders on that you see on a horse. See, the reason they put the blinders on a horse is so that the horse's peripheral vision doesn't distract him. If you have up in New York and you see those carriages going around Central Park, all those horses have on blinders. It's so that they can keep the attention of the horse straight ahead. Blinders are very good. If you want to be successful, you're going to have to put on a pair of blinders. That's so your eyes, when you look left or right, it forces you to get them back out front to where you're trying to go. See, because those blinders block out distractions. They block out distractions because they know you got to get laser beam focused if you want to be successful. You have to focus. You have to stop veering off track. You're just making the journey longer. You know, they say that the quickest way from point A to B is a straight line. Now, in life, it doesn't work that way. There is no straight lines. But you can avoid some of the detours, some of the distractions, but you got to quit veering off track. Everybody come to you. You can't participate in everything. Hey, man, we going out tonight. Hey, man, we going over here this weekend. Hey, man, come on, man. You ain't got to study. We getting ready to do this. Hey, man, don't worry about that. We going to happy hour. Come on, man. You can't go to everything. Stop veering off track. Next, look at it like this. Get your mind made up. Get your mind made up of what you want to have in your life.
the legacy you want to leave, what you want people to think of you as, how much money you really want to make, where are you really trying to go, how do you really want to be viewed, what do you really want to accomplish? Get your mind made up. Here's another way to look at it. Make a decision. Stop just wandering around. Life is a series of decisions. Make one. Just make a decision today. Make a decision. In other words, come to a conclusion. Man, just sit up and say to yourself, you know what? This is the deal for me. This is what works best for me. This is who I really am. Skip the outside interference from your friends and your relatives of what they think you ought to be and do. What's really good for you? Don't nobody know what's best for you better than you. Come to a conclusion. Make a decision. Set a goal. Have a vision. Get thirsty. Want something so bad that without it, your mouth tastes dry. You got to get thirsty, man. See, when you're thirsty, you got to get that quenched. You have to quench your thirst. And that's how you got to pursue success. You got to pursue success like you're thirsty. You got to be thirsty, man. You got to want something so bad that if you don't get it, your mouth tastes dry. What are you thirsty for? If you ain't thirsty for nothing, you ain't giving it all you got. I'm telling you, man, this is how I look at it. These are just some triggers that I put in my head. Be relentless. You got to be relentless about something. Being a relentless person has a carryover effect. If you get relentless about your dreams and goals, do you know that makes you relentless about everything? If you develop these positive characteristics about being successful, you can get there. You got to get focused. You got to stop veering off track. You got to get your mind made up. You got to make a decision. You got to come to a conclusion. You got to set a goal. You got to have a vision. You got to get thirsty. You have to be relentless. If you're not, you will veer off track. If you veer off track, you will never get to where you're trying to go. You got to get focused, y'all. It's as simple as that. And if you know how to do it, ask God to show you how. That's the other thing. No matter what I tell you, if you include God in everything I'm telling you, it becomes a lot simpler. You know, God can help you get focused. Anything you're short of, he got plenty of. God in the make your dream come true business. God is in the turn your life around business. God is in the pull it together business. God in the get over business. He can do it. So if you don't know how to get focused, ask God to help you get focused. And then make a decision to be focused and get on with your life. Make something happen today. Those are my closing remarks today.
All right, Steve.
Hey, can I tell y'all something?
Yeah, 10 seconds.
Have a great weekend.
For all Steve Harvey contests, no purchase necessary, void where prohibited. Participants must be legal U.S. residents at least 18 years old, unless otherwise stated. For complete contest rules, visit steveharvey.com.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.